All righty. People want to raise their hands, and we'll just take questions.
Talk about Roswell a little bit. Have you read various books on Roswell?
I've seen a number of accounts of it in the books that I've read. I've never read a book exactly about that. What I suspect is that the Roswell incident is a mixture of fact and fiction. That there probably was a crash of a real UFO, but I'm very skeptical that there were ETs in it. And again, we should bear in mind that Roswell would have been something which was deep into the Cold War period, that if we had technological developments that were far ahead of anything the Soviets had, then we would have tried to keep that secret, and by masking that with ETs. With regard to the whole question, it would not surprise me. In fact, what I'm expecting to happen at some point, maybe in 2 years, maybe in 75 or 100 years, is we're going to be visited by, quote, ETs, unquote, which will have technology far in advance of anything we've been led to believe has been developed, only it will, in fact, be Earth technology and either holographs, genetically engineered people, God knows what, that are coming out. Again, I'm very skeptical of ETs, but I think to a certain extent it may prove to be an academic consideration, because by the time this manifestation happens, I think it's going to be held off to a time when people are so desperate that they'll be ready to believe in a higher power. And I think it could be may very well be used to extinguish anything we have ever conceived of as democracy and self-rule. Yes,
with those. Okay. What about the Whitley Strieber and the visitor phenomenon? What I'm saying here, first off, number one, it's beginning to be a phenomenon. There's a psychologist at Temple University that has interviewed like 200 or 300 people that claim to have abduction experiences. He's saying he really thinks they believe that they have it, and more importantly, that their story is soon to be coordinated. And there's one other academic researcher in Massachusetts, I forget where, that's been coming up with this. And they're developing quite a mythology, quite a subculture that's getting pretty specific in their stories. It's not our good brothers from space, it's our bad little aliens from I forget which star we went off the Centauri, but that's it. And this is getting to be a significant phenomenon. Now, the one connection in terms of the intelligence community that I know of is if you look at John Lilly's research in the 60s, he did isolation tank experiments, and it kind of relates to a certain extent possibly some of the mixed up, where he says, look, you put people in an isolation tank, you give them LSD, and there's indications of a certain percentage of them will see something, that if you ask them what it is, they might say that it's an alien. Okay, so this shows that there was at least 30 years ago, there was some connection in terms of the CIA and or the intelligence community broadly defined, and the new age or visitor phenomenon, and not so much the spacecraft thing as people doing, claiming to have telepathic communications from this, and the more complex phenomenon that you see in books like Whitley Strieber's books. And I'm just saying, that's right now, it's the closest thing we have to something that's being put into the popular press, or being put into the academic press. And I think it's a significant phenomenon that I'm familiar with.
I'm familiar with it, but not very familiar with it. I've heard this fellow on the radio. He was doing the talk show circuit it would have been this past June. And I've heard discussions of the ET contacts and descriptions of genetic experiments being done by the ETs on human beings. And again, I think there are a number of things we have to be careful of. One being mind control. Somebody could be placed under hypnosis and have somebody come in with a suit. Or the other is holograms and holographic projection, and also genetic engineering, and also the use of those things in combination with each other in terms of actual contact with ETs, real or imagined. And as far as the phenomenon itself, if real flying saucers come down, people are going to be ready to believe in something from outer space. And I think it's a phenomenon. There's so many things in the possession of humans at this time which could be used to simulate that phenomenon, that the Whitley Strieber material could be the result of mind control or the applications of any one of those things. Yes?
Dave, what about the idea that you're right and many of the rest of us are right as well? And by that I mean it's quite clear that what you're saying is well-grounded, but even your own the only person, the man you quote, Jacques Vallée, makes the point in numerous books that there are sightings which simply defy the technology in you're describing. For example, battleship-sized vehicles entering and leaving the ocean off the coast of Brazil. And he also talks at length about virtually thousands of sightings all over the world. In parts of the world where there's certainly not going to be holograms out in the Brazilian jungle someplace, bugging some Indian out in the outback. So it seems to me like the main thing you're really accomplishing is wanting, certainly me, and probably a lot of the rest of us who think these things are perhaps real in a different way than you do, that the dangers are extraordinary for manipulation. On the other hand, and in fact, we can all probably guess from what's going on television and the blitz of stuff that we've seen about UFOs, that we are being set up for something. And certainly the idea that this is tied into a religion and the material that you introduced to support that idea makes perfectly good sense. On the other hand, isn't the government always clever enough to take something that's real and use it to their own advantage by adding a lot that's not real?
Certainly they are. And as far as the sightings, again, mind control was something that was developed as early as World War II. The more primitive types of technology now, the public record indicates that there are enormous potentials with regard to mind control. As far as battleship-sized things entering or leaving the ocean, again, one of the things that I've emphasized, that I'm not a physicist, and that we have had almost a half century of accelerated and largely secretive technological development. The Quarles statement was made almost 40 years ago, and I do not know what technologies may have been developed. I'm afraid the technologies which would appear to us to have to, of necessity, come from outer space may have been developed right here on Earth. I don't know how advanced genetic engineering is, but I can guarantee you that whatever the military has is far in advance of what the civilian sector has accomplished. And 7 years ago, there was a picture on the front page of the New York Times of a tobacco leaf made to glow like a firefly. So what they have done with that, again, just by way of rumination, taking a gene from a frog, inserting it into a human being, perhaps getting a human being with smooth, amphibian-like skin, perhaps the vertical pupils in their eyes. I cannot pin down what it is that they might have now. No doubt the government is manipulating the phenomenon in such a way. One of the things that Vallée talks about is the extensive degree of the extensive involvement of the intelligence community with many of the UFO cults and their intense interest in the phenomenon. So, but what they may have, I can't comment on authoritatively, not only not being on the inside, but not having a technical background in physics and the aeronautics to pass intelligent critical judgment. But examining the historical record, with circular flying machines having flown almost a half century ago, I think we have to be prepared for things that might appear to us, again, to appear to, of necessity, come from outer space. In terms of the phenomena which can't be explained by any technology we know, there have been experiments with plasma physics. God knows what they've been able to do with some of the technology of Nikola Tesla. I can guarantee you that there are some technologies which they have kept secret and which will appear to us to be miraculous. Exactly what those are, what those might be, it would be the height of pretense for me to comment on authoritatively. I entitled this lecture "The Political and Sociological Implications of the ET Phenomenon," or the UFO phenomenon and the ET myth. That's why I phrased it that way. I went into the technology at the end to show, basically, from the historical record, that in fact circular flying machines developed by people on this planet were a reality almost a half century ago. But what's happened in the Cold War period is anybody's guess. Now, with regard to the anti-gravity technology, the accounts of these articles that appeared in the New York Herald Tribune in 55, they may have been Cold War disinformation to try and get the Soviets to begin exploring a wholly unproductive line of physical research. But perhaps that may have been real, the reasons why they suddenly disappeared from the Herald Tribune. It was several days in a row. They appeared all of a sudden, bingo, they disappeared like that. That could account for some of it, the enormous UFOs that people claim to have seen. Or they could have been people who have been placed under mind control and then made to believe that they actually saw those things. I can't say.
Well,
let's get somebody else. You already asked one question. In the back of the A's hat.
I'd like to actually extend that question in a way, because it seems that when you say UFO, you mean unidentified in the sense that they're not extraterrestrial, in other words, not non-human. You also have discussed the technology that may have been developed during the Cold War period, and I think that you're probably correct in the sense that there are a number of technological developments we just don't know about. Certain stealth technologies, for example, were developed in the 70s and only revealed in the late 80s. And so who knows what was developed in the late 70s or the 80s, which is flying now. There's a lot of comment about the Aurora spacecraft, which were a surveillance platform. But despite that, are you saying that in your personal opinion, based on your research, there's not a separate UFO phenomena, that while it may not be extraterrestrial, because if you have Greg Belay, he rejects the typical American UFO community research belief, as it were, that the typical four-foot grays are a real entity. Have you considered, or do you think there is a possibility, in parallel, of a true UFO phenomenon in the sense that it's a non-human form of intelligence, and whether it's interdimensional, non-corporeal, extraterrestrial, or whatever, that it's separate from the technological developments you're speculating about, and actually real?
Yeah, one of the things Belay speculates about is the possibility of a parallel universe. Now, again, I do not have the background in physics to make an intelligent, critical evaluation of that. Neither physics nor information theory is my long suit. I can't dismiss that, but I also can see it would be pretentious for me to comment on that authoritatively. That's, again, why I've termed this lecture the political and sociological implications of it. There may, whether or not there's a parallel universe and manifestations from that, I can't say that. That's way out of my line of expertise, and it would be pretentious for me to try to give you a definitive answer. But in terms of the way the phenomenon is being used, that I'm convinced of. It's being used in a way that would be conducive to social control, and with the historical record, albeit a not very well-known record, in existence of humans having developed circular flying machines, I think we have to be on the alert for things with that may very well have been developed on this earth that would appear to the average layman or laywoman to be way ahead of anything we have been exposed to and would appear to us to come from outer space. But it's possible, I can't say it's possible that Belay is right. I can't comment authoritatively on it, so whether there's a parallel universe, which is one of the things Belay speculates about. He doesn't comment on it authoritatively either. He doesn't say, yes, this is, but it's a possibility he holds open. That, again, is so far out of my line of expertise. One of the things I try to avoid, not try to avoid, I do avoid, is commenting on something I really am not, don't have a background to comment on. That's one of those things. Whether or not there's a parallel universe, I can't say. Again, theoretical physics is not my long suit.
Well, can I follow up on that? I wasn't referring specifically to a parallel universe per se. He has discussed that. But what he's referring to is not only intelligence community phenomenon to develop technology for psychological warfare purposes, and within Air Force, for example, to develop stealth technologies of vehicles that may look like UFOs, but in parallel to that phenomenon, in other words, that possible fact, that there is, in addition, some form of non-human intelligence operant, possibly interacting with in a control fashion, with a positive, negative, neutral, unknown, at the same time. You're on.
Well, as far as non-human intelligence, with regard to that, I'm from Missouri. I'm going to have to see it, and I hope I know. No, really. I can't comment on that definitively, but I think a healthy skepticism in that regard. My gut sense is that, and again, I think some of the ways in which the UFO phenomenon has been manipulated from the standpoint of mythology, like von Daniken, the notion that the pyramids couldn't have been built unless technology coming from our brothers in space was introduced. They know how the pyramids were built. You know, the huge blocks were moved by using logs as rollers. The historical record is very clear. They know where they were cut from. The quarries are there. There are tracks across the desert from even today from where the things went across. So the notion of non-human intelligence is one I'm skeptical of. At the same time, I have a low enough regard for most human intelligence that I can't rule it out, but I haven't seen anything that would give me any credence in it so far.
Not even Dan Quayle?
Now the question, he's non-human, but is he intelligent? Not that I've been able to determine. Yes, in the back of the red shirt.
Michael, thank you for this presentation. I listened to you regularly every week, and I really appreciate the work you're doing. And this UFO topic is an area of particular interest in that. I've been studying for about 30 years, and I give lectures and workshops on it. And I, too, have come across a strong fascist element in a lot of the so-called messages and contractees and so forth that a lot of different groups put forth, all these different meetings you mentioned. And however, I've also gone back way beyond 1947 and looked into ancient history and a lot of different cultures. And they all, the disc is seen very often in a lot of different cultures. The winged disc, whether you're looking in the Bible or India or Egypt or all over the world, they talk about this interaction with other beings and so forth. And I'd like to just propose a hypothesis, ultimate hypothesis, just for consideration, that the fascist component in this whole UFO phenomenon itself actually has a metaphysical origin, that it comes from either a psychic dimension or so forth, or beyond someplace, that's manifesting a quote, real UFO phenomenon, and that this fascist message or component that's in it is actually coming from a real metaphysical, otherworldly, so to speak, dimension. That's how a religious point of view or spiritual point of view would put this in context. And you throw in a lot of hoax and political shenanigans also, and that would do it. So actually, rather than saying that the fascist mentality is making up this otherworldly explanation like UFOs, it's actually coming in the reverse direction. It's coming down from the top, so to speak, from another dimension or psychic realm, metaphysical realm, and that what we're seeing is a real phenomenon, as well as technology originating from the government and other sources that's imitated in a sense, too. So that's just an alternative hypothesis that I'd like to put out.
Yeah, no, as far as religion itself, I'm an agnostic. I swear to God I am. I don't place, you know, and I am. I could see certain things in higher mathematics to the extent that I've been aware of them, I've been made aware of them, and I've sat down with people and they've explained things like the string theory to me. I can see the theory of relativity and other things as indicating that there could possibly be, you know, another life, whether it's, you know, soul or heaven or hell or reincarnation or karma. On the other hand, I can also see that entire phenomenon, meaning religion per se, you know, the idea that there's anything beyond what we are, as being nothing more than a function of the narcissism of the human animal. When you drive along the road and you see a possum that's been run over and squashed flat, you're going to say, ah, the possum has gone on to its life and its reward in the next dimension. You say, poor possum, that's the end of him. You know? And I can see the human being is being basically like that possum. You know, we get squashed, that's the end of us. On the other hand, maybe there is. I mean, Einstein said that nothing is created in this world and nothing destroyed. Things merely change form. Maybe that's true of humanity. So with regard to religion, again, I'm an agnostic. I can see it both ways. With regard to ancient history, though, I place no stock in it. I'm not saying that it's there are not some accurate historical records from a long time ago, but as a student of contemporary history, and specifically our national security establishment and the growth of fascism, I see how mythologized things have become in the age of photography, motion pictures, and so forth. I mean, the whole notion of Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy is readily verifiable BS, and yet it's still an official position that is what happened. With regard to the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita, these things were developed in an age, in cultures which were essentially oral. And play the game of telephone at a party, you know, where one person whispers something in one person's ear, and then it goes all around the room, and by the time the original message gets around, it's a completely different thing. So in the age of both oral culture, and the Bible was essentially the product of oral culture, I wouldn't place a lot of stock in that. So, again, I'm approaching it from a political and sociological standpoint. I am also very leery of the notion that we were visited by ETs a long time ago because of some of the either fascistic or proto-fascistic elements such as von Daniken with his reliance on Hans Horbiger and things of that kind. But regarding religion, again, I'm an agnostic. I don't place a lot of stock in the historical record from a long time ago. Okay? Yeah, nobody from this side of the room is raising their hand. Maybe it's because you're on the right, at least you're on the left.
We have We have heard so much about the Bermuda Triangle, so many hypotheses, so many theories. What do you think of that?
I don't know. There may be something. One of the things that I've wondered about with the Bermuda Triangle is that that may be an area of military experimentation or something that they're trying to keep secret. I saw a sort of pop documentary on that, and it generally gave the Bermuda Triangle as the manifestation of something, you know, Atlantis or ETs or flying saucers. But there was one point where a guy had actually begun doing hard research in it, and he was found shot in the back after having done the hard research, which doesn't sound to me like the work of either Atlantis or people from another planet. It sounds to me like he'd come across something that was too sensitive. Something I forgot to mention in the main body of the lecture, too. One of the books I've read, I've forgotten offhand who did it, but they talked about ETs coming from another world and contacting people and manipulating them. And one of the ETs that they were in contact with was a guy named Quasar, a being named Quasgah, who was shown they had a drawing of Quasgah, and it was greeting people like this, which I thought was interesting. But at one point, the people that Quasgah had contacted got really upset. He got really upset with them. Apparently, he was listening on their telephone, which also doesn't sound to me like ETs. It sounds like the government or some aspect of it. But they got terribly upset with these people, these contactees, and they then died in an auto accident the next day. And so that sounds to me like, again, a terrestrial rather than extraterrestrial phenomenon. But in regard to the Bermuda Triangle, I really can't say. There may very well be some kind of experimentation or something going down there. Again, I should emphasize that I'm not a physicist, and I'm an agnostic with regard to religious phenomena. You know, I just don't know, and I can see arguments in both regards. But when I saw this pop documentary, again, the vast bulk of it was all, you know, it's Atlantis, it's, you know, it's our brothers from space, or our brothers from under the sea, or people from within the hollow earth or something. But this one researcher started doing research into it and was doing some really serious stuff, apparently, and they found him shot in the back. And, you know, when you hear about that, that suggests to me it ain't our brothers from space nor Atlantis. It's probably somebody right here who was very upset. Yes.
What about, I just throw a couple of things out that you hadn't mentioned. The definitive UFO and ET events to me are the Roswell incident and Billy Myers. What about Billy Myers? What about crop circles, cattle mutilations, cattle buyers?
There are a lot of things that have not been explained. Cattle mutilations are interesting, and they've been linked with the UFO phenomenon by a number of people. I cannot absolutely say concerning the cattle mutilations. One of the things that I have suspected, one of the things also about my own research, I will not commit to anything that I don't feel confident to committing on. And undoubtedly, the answers to many of these questions are going to be I don't know or I can't say. I suspect that the cattle mutilations involve some sort of experimentation, very possibly genetic engineering. There's a really scary movie, and it's a very good movie, that was released called Endangered Species in the early 1980s, which is about the cattle mutilations. And specifically, it talks about the cattle mutilations as being done by the government, as they were experimenting with genetically engineered microorganisms. I suspect that may very well be what those were about, and that they were manifested in such a way, they were done in such a way as to make it appear to have been done by something from another planet. And they're also, we're talking about UFOs, they're also silenced helicopters, too, which could drop right down. And that's what they use in this movie, is silenced helicopters. I suspect since the reproductive system and the nervous system of the cow are very similar to those of a human being, that they would make good experimental subjects. And I suspect that's what the cattle mutilations were, and that the UFO thing was used as a cover.
What about Billy Myers, Semyazi, the female ET that Fred Bell and Billy Myers have seen? The beautiful female, by the way.
Well, that's right. I have not heard of it. This is the first female ET I've heard about, you know.
She's very famous. You can buy posters of her almost anywhere.
Yeah, as I said, I've read about a dozen UFO books. I don't claim to have covered the entire
program literature.
Crop circles, I suspect, also is some form of experimentation. I can't say whether it's involves genetically engineered seeds or something of that kind, of the applications of chemicals which would cause crops to wilt in a particular fashion, or whether it involves something from outer space, not from outer space, but from the atmosphere.
Not what happens overnight. I don't think it's anything to do with genetic seeds.
The crop circles that come out in England were all debunked.
Those are British intelligence guys, Doug and Dave.
Well, no, the crop circles, what happened was, there have been crop circles also appearing in the United States. Now, what happened in Great Britain was, these crop circles have been appearing. They've been appearing in Great Britain and the United States. And a couple of guys came out and said, "Ah, it's just us. You know, we got drunk and we went out and started doing these things." Which, you know, maybe true. Maybe these guys were on a lark. They've been pub crawling and they had a few too many pints of Newcastle Brown and decided to get it on. But that wouldn't account for what's been appearing in the United States, unless one posits, you know, a sub-Rosa.
They could have done this one.
Anyway.
They've been researching British intelligence.
That wouldn't surprise me. I suspect that was floated as an okey-doke, because even if they were on the level and they really did perform some crop circles, I find it hard to believe that it would be a transatlantic sub-Rosa conspiracy of drunks to cut it across. I suspect that something is being engineered. Something is being tested. Again, what I can't say. I wouldn't rule out the possibility of genetically engineered crops. Even though they appear overnight, there has been some experimentation with B-scalar technology in which microorganisms can be made to grow when subjected to various forms of electromagnetic radiation at a tremendous speed. I am convinced that there are technologies that have been kept secret and that are going to appear way in advance of anything we've been told about exactly what they are. The crop circles, I suspect, involve some sort of experimentation. But what exactly, whether it has anything to do with UFOs, whether it involves... one guy called me up and said that the crop circles appeared to him to be something that he had worked with. He was working with laser technology in the 1960s, and that lasers could be used to create those things. Perhaps they're space satellites. Again, I can't say about that. I suspect that there's much more to it than a couple of drunks doing that. But what exactly, I can't say. Now, with regard to Billy Meyer, this is one that an E.T. story that I'm not...
Classic E.T. UFO event?
What books, what books have you...
Wendell Stevens is all sorts of stuff on it.
Contact from the Pleiades.
Is that the guy who saw the guys from the Pleiades? See, I don't have all the names.
His whole life has been contact.
Yeah, well, I'm really skeptical of that stuff. Was this the guy that produced the photographs?
The ancient photo, the thousands of photos.
really skeptical. Now I know the guy you're talking about. I was not familiar with the name Billy Myers, but I've seen the contacts from the Pleiades, etc. Yeah, that looks to me to be a big okey doke. How the hell would he know they're from the Pleiades unless somebody told him? Yeah, well, they told him. Yeah. And how would they know that was our word for that? Because that's our word for that star system. You know, that's another thing which, you know, just these things know too much about our civilization, and I don't buy it. I'm very skeptical of that. And I'm very skeptical that anything from a star system that far away would have any physical characteristic even remotely resembling what we have.
Why not?
Why would they? You know,
why not?
Because the conditions...
People in Africa kind of look like us, too.
Yeah, but they've come from the same planet. They have the same genome. That's the point. They have evolved from the same... It is a matter of fact, and this is something I do know about, that all human beings have a core of genetic material. We all evolved from the same African female. The female came first, the male came second. We all evolved from it. But we evolved from creatures on the same planet with the same environment and the same genome. There's no reason why something which evolved on a distant star system, assuming something did, would look anything like us or have a...
Yeah, we both evolved from the same place.
Yeah, well, this goes back to the Ariosophist, and I'm extremely skeptical of that sort of thing. I don't see any reason, from what I've seen, that there would be anything from another star system would look anything like us. Now, if it was a life form and it was energy or something like that, that would appear to me as well. Maybe there's some for life form like that. But there's something that would be genetically similar to us, and the notion that we might have evolved from the same thing as somebody on a different planet. That goes back to the chariots of the gods and the Ariosophist philosophy, which is proto-fascistic in my mind. Go ahead.
2 points. Rails changed the symbol.
He has?
About 6 months ago. Get tired of the heat. So, now it's the Star of David, but something looks kind of like an open lotus flowering. So the new books will have a different symbol on them.
Well, I know the Mercury article that I saved from I don't know how long ago, but he still had the swastika at the start of it.
Well, they're still wearing the same medallions because it costs a lot to replace. I know one of his priests here in Palo Alto, and he showed us the drawings, and they were real happy that they don't have to take the heat from that anymore.
Yeah, so at least they
did. In Toronto about 4 months ago, at least they made it official, because, you know, Rail has a direct... telepathic line to his boss, and so he can get approval to do that on the spot.
that's another thing too. But it sounds to me like these beings from another planet are all the PR conscious too.
I do have a question. I just wanted to share that with you that they changed it. The question I have has to do with the topic of the talk, the political aspects. And the thing that I'm bothered about as I'm listening is something that I find in my background in political science having to do with assumptions. And I in no way favor fascism, mm-hmm. but I agree with Tom Paine and about democracy. And when I look at what is obviously the fascism of political correctness, I question that these aren't just two opposing ends of the same filthy spectrum.
I think let me interject. I don't think political correctness should be termed fascism, although it could be viewed as a form of authoritarianism. Fascism is a very specific word. Political correctness doesn't have anything to do with a totalitarian corporate system. Now, authoritarian, I do find certain aspects of the politically correct question to be authoritarian.
I think when the courts start sanctioning people for speaking freely, you're talking about fascism.
There are other forms of totalitarianism.
Point is that I'm hearing a great number of, I can't comment on that authoritatively, and I'm an agnostic, which in political science, these answers reduce simply to, I don't know. And it's okay if you say you don't know, mm-hmm. you don't know, because you didn't say you were going to tell us everything that was existing is true.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I would have to question the assumption that democracy is the only admirable form of government, and that it's the opposite of fascism, because fascism is so horrible. I'll agree that fascism is pretty horrible, but I won't agree that democracy has any merit.
That's your opinion, and you're entitled to it.
Well, right, and so I'm just saying that that's an assumption when you're talking about an either-or. When you get into this Aristotelian logic stuff in political science, you box yourself in, and you lose all sight of all other options, and you end up doing the same thing that you're accusing of whoever's behind this or whatever's going on, that you end up with a mindset that can't think.
Well, other than totalitarianism, some form of totalitarianism, whether you're talking about Stalinism, or fascism, a la Hitler or Mussolini. What other form of government do you think see that would be viable or desirable in your mind? Just out of curiosity.
In today's society, with the ignorant population we're confronted with now, I would say that a return to the bicameral house of the great experiment posed by Henry Clay in the original Constitution, possibly the repeal of the 17th Amendment and give the states back the representation, stop the whim of the winds and the rule of the masses and the looting of the public treasury by everybody who has something to gain by voting for some vested interest. Article 4, Section 4, Clause 1 of the United States Constitution demanding a federal government based on a republic rather than a democracy.
Yeah, well, that essentially is a form of feudalism, really, is what it amounts to. But in my opinion, that you could argue for. I suspect we may very well get that at some point. But even now, the problem with something like that is that grew up in an age that was not as technologically advanced as ours. And when you have a society of the type that we have, really a world society where a nuclear power plant can melt down, you know, in 500 miles from an area, and the prevailing winds carry the radiation that destroys your environment and your life and what's going on with you, it doesn't seem to me to be particularly realistic to retreat to the past.
I don't see that much different than peeing in the stream that feeds the family downwards.
Well, the point is that we live in a complex society. I don't think any retreat to provincialism in whatever manifestation people want to do it is a viable option at this point. That's my opinion.
Let me just close by saying I prefer rational anarchy.
Yeah, well, I don't think anarchy is a good viable either. I also think that rational anarchy is the ultimate option, Warren, but that's my opinion. Go ahead back there. Tiger's cap, is it? I can't read it.
This has been really interesting to me, and unfortunately I don't listen regularly to your show, but I'll probably start now. But the whole idea of skepticism about ET phenomena, et cetera, I share that skepticism. I also share the same kind of skepticism that our government or a coalition of multinational organizations can, over 40 or 50 years, carry something out like this and be completely secret about it.
Well, that's something that Vesco addresses in the last part of his book, and he talks about what has been possible in the past in terms of military secrecy, and that it's only too possible for a large industrial military to carry out something in complete secrecy and to keep it secret. But that I would recommend getting hold of the book and reading it. It's too long a passage for me to read. I thought about that. Ultimately, I'm going to try and do an archive show about this, and I'm going to read that whole section because that's one of the arguments that he deals with in substance. There's no way that something like this could be carried out in secret. And one of the points he makes is that aircraft construction is accomplished through subcontracting, that different contractors make different parts, not necessarily knowing where they're going, And there would be a very small number of people that would be involved with the final assemblage and therefore knowledgeable about it. He also talks about many of the military installations that were developed by the Germans and the British, underground bases, and things, in particular, one of the underground factories that was used for manufacturing the ME-262. It was under beneath a huge salt mine, and the planes were manufactured, that mining was carried out in the salt mine. It was completely invisible from the air. The planes were then raised by an elevator at night and wheeled out onto an airfield. And even though the British knew where this thing was, they couldn't locate it. When they knew where it was, but it was so well camouflaged that they couldn't find it. And they had agents walking right by the vents, and they knew it was there, and they couldn't find it. Eventually they did, but it took a while to do it. Yeah.
I have a question. It's not a question, it's a concern that I have. I noticed that lately there's been a movement in the UFO community. This has to do with self-preservation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the UFO community are joining different groups. The sole purpose is to work on oneself, because the whole idea is if the cataclysm is coming, the best thing to do is to take care of yourself, enlighten yourself, improve your spiritual growth. And I think people are playing right into this game of non-action, mm-hmm. taking care of oneself, to hell with everything else. That's what's happening. That's just what I see.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the goal, let me jump in, the goal of psychological warfare, there are a lot of different types, but the central goal of psychological warfare is to produce what's known as privatization, in other words, don't get involved with political groups, don't organize, look out for number one, don't worry about politics, take care of your home, take care of your family, keep your shoulder to the wheel, your nose to the grindstone, and that's so there are aspects of that I can see as the goal.
Yes, it's sort of a form of manipulations. To control people so they would not be politically involved. Mm-hmm. I see it all over.
I think an awful lot of our society is essentially psychological warfare. I mean, you can look at the privatization goal, and you can see it everything from the food and wine pages of your newspapers. In other words, if you're going to make this out of the other dish, assuming you work for a living, by the time you get home from work, and you cook up this marvelous little whatever it is, this little artichoke gelato. That's the end of your day. You're not going to have any time for reading the rest of the newspaper either. That's going to be it. Or if you spend all your time trying to be like Mike or something and buy the latest sneakers. It's amazing. I have a pretty simple lifestyle. This is what you call an Emery tuxedo, t-shirt and blue jeans. It's amazing to me how much time and energy people spend on things like clothes. And it's nice to look nice, and I don't try to look like a bum, but I usually manage to do that anyway without lately trying. But it's amazing to me how much time and energy people spend on stuff like that. I see professional people, and it remarkably turned out, but I see men and women that must have gotten up at 4 in the morning to have to be at work at 8, start with a shower and then makeup and doing whatever. I think there's an awful lot of our society which, whether or not it's intended in that direction, I think a lot of it is basically functioning in that direction. I also noticed we're after 11 o'clock, so as I recall, the demons of Foothill, meaning the campus security, are probably going to roust us here pretty soon. So I'll try to answer the rest of the questions expeditiously. The gentleman in the black shirt?
Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with William Cooper, the author of Behold the Pale Horse, or as you say,
which should have been entitled Behind the Pale Horse.
He made a comment in an article in a magazine that JFK was assassinated because he was getting ready to expose the government's connection to the aliens.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the magazine UFO?
I have seen issues of it. I have not read it on a regular basis, but I have seen issues of it and had people send me articles from it.
Yeah, because Vicky Cooper, the editor of UFO...
Is that in relation to William Cooper?
Well, no, I don't believe so, because she ridicules William Cooper at the same time using some of his material, and has also had many advertisements for the... I think it's the McGee or McKee CIA base, the Ralph McGee.
Ralph McGee?
Yeah. He has what's called the CIA base.
So. Yeah. McGee, by the way, is not ex-CIA. He's another one of these quote ex-unquote CIA. McGee's active duty company chief. Okay.
My question is it possible that the UFO magazine itself may be a branch of intelligence to disseminate information.
Yeah,
absolutely.
One of the things that I did not go into at the length that I would have otherwise, and I hope to go into this in the UFO show, the intelligence community is deeply involved with the UFO phenomenon. And that UFO calls and other things, and it's one of the things that led me to first investigating the topic. Yeah, I did, very much so. White shirt?
Yes. There's a lot of documentation regarding Nazi secret weapons such as the jet aircraft and the rockets. There's all sort of photographic and technical schematic documentation available. I've never seen anything like that regarding the fireball or the Kuma bullets. Could you possibly point me in that direction?
There have been a number of accounts of them. I would recommend the Vesco book in terms of actually providing an illustration. There's also a book called UFO Nazi Secret Weapon, which is put out by Samistat Publishers, which is a Nazi group up in Toronto, which has a photograph basically of one of these things taken off beside the wing of an FW-190. I can't say how accurate the photograph is. The problem is that in the late 20th century, with computer technology, the possibilities for photo enhancement or photo fabrication, including motion pictures, is enormous. So the photographic evidence that's available is not something, oddly enough, I place that much stock in. It's possible there's so much with photographs. The book, UFO Nazi Secret Weapon, is a mixture of fact and BS, in my opinion. There are substantive indications. In fact, it's not a substantive indication. The Germans did, in fact, the Third Reich had explored Antarctica, specifically an area of Antarctica off the coast of South Africa, which they dubbed Neue Schwabenland. And this book maintains that that's where the Nazis retreated to, and that they had UFO technology far in advance of anything that the public was aware of, that we have even been aware of today. There are definite indications that the Nazis, in fact, the Nazis did explore Antarctica. Von Dönitz was known to have stated that they had prepared a secret base for the Führer in Antarctica in case of a military defeat. I think there's a distinct possibility there may have been such a base, and how long it lasts or whether it's still in existence, I can't say. But that same book also goes into things like a couple of U-boats which landed in Argentina, which may very well have gotten the Führer and or Martin Bormann there. It also goes into stuff which is obvious BS, though, saying the Nazis had visited the moon by 1935, which makes it rather strange that they could do that. How come they hadn't invented radar? How come they lost the Battle of Britain? You know, so it's, that book is a mixture of disinformation and accurate stuff.
One other quick item while we're on the subject of unusual technologies. Did you notice that the space shuttle was up and there's been another earthquake in the Armenia, Georgia area?
Is the shuttle up again?
Yeah.
Yes. When did this one take off?
Thursday.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. I noticed that I think it was the ones in Northern California, Southern California, the shuttle was up again. Yeah, now there are earthquakes that happen, but I've seen far too great a degree of coincidence between the shuttle, particularly top secret military missions and earthquakes. And again, it was the Armenian quake of 1988 that led me to first begin sniffing the air, because about 8 years ago I read a book which projected again seismic weapons and weather weaponry as weapons of mass destruction in the 21st century. At the time, I didn't really think much about it because I was trying to deal with the Vatican banking crisis, and some people, such as Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins, and nobody heard about 8 years ago, and I goes, oh, yeah, right, Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins, Groot, Iran, Contra. But so I didn't think much about earthquake and seismic, earthquake and weather weaponry then. But when I saw the ad on the back of the front page of the front section of the New York Times on December 7, 1988, by the Armenian Americans Association, accusing Gorbachev of genocide, and I began wondering what was going to happen. The Soviet, former Soviet exile groups in this country are inextricably linked with the intelligence community. Having studied the media components of CIA operations, that really smelled to me. I was afraid that perhaps they were going to assassinate Gorbachev, have some Armenian dissident assassinate Gorbachev as a way of heating up the Cold War. Then when I saw that earthquake the next day, I said, oh, because I knew the shuttle was up on a top secret mission, military mission, putting some sort of satellite in orbit over the Soviet Union. I said, uh-oh, have they clearly figured out how to do it? And I began following that at this point. I've been able to predict two earthquakes, including the Loma Prieta quake, and I'm not a seismologist, so I think they do have that technology, or at least it's in an advanced state of R&D.
Although this mission is for the purpose of putting up an earthquake detection satellite.
Well, that may indeed, if you can cause them, you can sure predict them.